highly favored. Today we want to look at John chapter 15. We looked at this at 8 o'clock, but I want to put a slightly different twist on the 15th chapter of the book of John. John chapter 15, beginning at verse number 1. If you have a copy of the New Testament, as I said before, we'll go to school first and then we'll have church. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. For a short while, I want to speak from the subject, I heard it through the true vine. I heard it through the true vine. Now, I'm going to need the older saints to come on back to Jesus, because I know right now your mind is on Marvin Gaye. So just come on back to the Messiah. In John chapter 14, we find that Jesus and his disciples, they left the upper room. They left the upper room where Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper and gave them parting instruction. Now Jesus is on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane, which means olive press, where he's getting ready to pray the prayer that we read in John, the 17th chapter. But before praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, we find that Jesus gives lessons to his disciples before dying. You'll find that when a person states something or speaks something to another person prior to their death, whatever is said by the person that is to die must be extremely important. And so Jesus talks about relationships, and he wants them to understand that when I go back to glory and I'm seated at the right hand of God, your relationship with me, your relationship with God is going to be vital to you thriving in the kingdom of God's dear Son. He says, I want you to understand who I am. He says, I am the true vine. Now, he's true in the sense that he differs from the vine in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, Israel was the chosen vine. God plucked Israel out of Egyptian bondage and planted Israel, removing all of the heathens, all of the rocks and so forth, so that Israel could prosper and be a model example to the heathen nations around her. But Israel fell because of her disobedience. And because of that, instead of bringing forth lush grapes, she brought forth wild grapes. But now we find that Jesus enters the scene. He enters the world. Eternity steps into time. And Jesus gives his last I am statement and says, I am the true vine. I'm the true vine because I have been obedient. I am the true vine because I am the one that supplies life and strength and fruit to those who are connected to me. And so what he's stating in John chapter 15 is directed to those who are connected to him. He's not talking to folk outside of Jesus. He's not talking to folk outside of the church. He is talking to folk who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, who've heard the gospel, believe the gospel, repented of their sins, confessed Jesus to be the Son of God, and were buried with him in baptism for the remission of their sins. That's who Jesus is talking to. And so all of us in here as members of the body of Christ, which is the church of Christ, we are connected to the vine. And being connected to the vine means that God expects to see fruit in our lives. Now, I'm talking to young folk this morning. And so you older folk, you older Christians, get yours when you can. Is that all right? I don't want y'all sitting back saying, you tell them, Brother Martin, you tell them. I've been trying to tell them all these years. Finally, somebody else said something. No. You get yours when you can get yours. A lot of times we give our blessings away because we believe it's suited for somebody else. And we end up being spiritually deficient because we're not getting for ourselves what we need for our spiritual vitality. Jesus says, I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. My Father is the vine dresser. He is the laborer. He is the land worker. He is the one that works in the life of the branch so that the branch can bear much fruit. He says, he that is in me that beareth not fruit, the Bible says the vine dresser takes away. Now, I want you to understand the concept of taking away from a viticultural standpoint. Yeah, I think I just baptized that word. That's a vine dresser who treats and deals with the vine and the branches so that it can bear more fruit. Sometimes he has to do certain things to the branch in order for the branch to be fruitful. Here the Bible says he takes it away. It's a word that literally means to lift up. If ever you were to walk in a vineyard, you will find branches that are connected to the vine on the ground. Well, being on the ground, they can't function. They can't flourish. They can't bear fruit. And so what the vine dresser does is he reaches down and he lifts up the branch and exposes the branch, puts it in a position where it faces the S-U-N so that it can bear fruit. Because there's something that's in the branch that will bring forth fruit because it's still connected to the vine. Every now and then, we're going to find ourselves floored by failures, grounded by guilt, beat up by burdens, cast down by calamities. But aren't you glad that God doesn't leave us down there? He reaches down with his love, grace, and mercy. He pulls us up and exposes us to the S-O-N so we can bear fruit in our lives. I don't know about you. I'm happy that God's not through with me yet. He's still working on me. I'm still a project. I'm still under construction in Christ Jesus. But then he says there are those who do bear fruit. That bear fruit. We have young folk who are active, young folk that we've seen so far, and those behind the scenes, as Brother Bradshaw talked about, who are working for Jesus at a young, tender age. And we ought to thank God. We ought to thank Almighty that young folk love the Lord and they're willing to work for the Lord. But it's a dangerous thing to become complacent and comfortable in your walk with God. You don't want to ever get to the point where you say, I've done all that I'm going to do, or I am all that I'm going to be. It's amazing that God, who declares the end from the beginning, knows exactly what I need in order to graduate me to the next level of spiritual living. He says, I don't want you to be comfortable, and so what I'm going to do, I'm going to prune you. I'm going to purge you. I'm going to cleanse you. Because when you look at a vine, there are certain things that negatively affect the branches. There are insects. There are diseases. And so the vine dresser has to carefully cut these things away because these things will hinder the branch from bringing forth more fruit. I don't want you to be comfortable in your Christianity. I don't want you to get so comfortable that you think you got this thing all figured out and you start hanging around folk. You don't need to hang around. God will, by his grace, his mercy, clip some folk and some things out of your life and put you in an ideal position to bear fruit for his glory and his honor. I'll be the first to tell you that I know what it's like to hang around the wrong group. I started preaching at the age of 12, but early on in my preaching, I saw some other folk and I saw their popularity and I wanted to be just like them. I started talking like them. What you say? None of your business. Lord have mercy. So what did that preacher say then? Don't worry about it. God forgave me. Amen. Yeah, all right. Yeah, forgive me if my presentation is a bit unorthodox, but I'm trying to reach somebody. But I know what it's like to try to fit in. I know what it's like to go along just to get along. I know what it's like to keep up with the Joneses. I know what it's like to have this sense of belonging and feeling like the oddball because I'm the only one walking around school at the age of 12 and 13 with a Bible in my left hand. I'm toting and I'm quoting, but I feel awkward and I want to feel like I belong. And so I find myself a victim. I find myself subjected to what's going on around me. I find myself conforming to the world, trying to be just like the world. And it left me in a place of emptiness. I felt no victory in my life. I wasn't producing like God wanted me to produce. I wasn't the influence that I needed to be in the life of my peers. God says, I got to do something about this. And so God allowed me to get jumped by 15 folk. What you do, preacher? I was downtown and I had a hat on, my father's Kango. And I cocked it to the wrong side. And I'm sitting downtown waiting on the bus to go home. All I want to do is get in my bed. And 15 folks standing in front of me. I said, this can't be good. They're not trying to hear a sermon at this time. And before I knew it, they were all over me, just punching and kicking. But I survived. And after that wake-up call, I ain't put another hat on my head in any direction. And I got back on the straight and the narrow. But sometimes God has to wake us up through some crazy situations. He wants us to understand that, listen, this is not where you need to be. God says it is my purpose for you to be blessed. And if you want to be blessed, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You can't be like the world and try to save the world at the same time. Something has to give. But now if he doesn't do any of that, if he doesn't walk, if he doesn't stand, and if he doesn't sit with the sinful folk, what does he do? Where is his delight? His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Meditation is an agricultural term which signifies a cow eating grass. The cow eats the grass and then he'll throw the grass up. He'll regurgitate the grass. And then the very grass that he throws up, he eats again. I know what some of y'all thinking right now, that's a nasty cow. But that's what he does because he doesn't care. That's meditating. And so when we look at this as it relates to the word of God, we feast on God's word. We regurgitate in application. And the very word that we regurgitate, we digest, we eat again, because this is the source of my spiritual strength. This is where the fruit is going to come from. This is how I'm going to be better, stronger, and wiser. I got to stay in the Word of God. And the more I stay in the Word of God, the more spiritually lifted I am in my life. Y'all remember Friday? Folk at the 8 o'clock service didn't know what I was talking about. Friday, what is he talking about? A movie called Friday? And so I hope y'all can be a little more real with me at the 10:45 hour. I got to kind of conjure up your memory as I did at 8 o'clock. Craig got fired on his day off. Are you with a brother now? When I holler HBO, I just need an amen. HBO, help a brother out, okay? Craig got fired on his day off. Smokey was employed by Big Worm and had to sell some of Big Worm's stuff. Y'all know what I'm talking about now? And so he said, what you doing today? I ain't doing nothing. And so they made the decision, you know what? We're going to take this stuff and we're going to smoke it. Y'all stay with me. Stay close to the cross. Now, before we do this thing, we got to put a process in place. If we're going to equally benefit from this experience, puff, puff, give, or puff, puff, pass. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Stay with Jesus, stay with Jesus. And so you puff, and then you pass. fast. All right? Now, if we keep this process the way it needs to be, then all of us can get high together. Well, preacher, what's the point? Here's the point. The word of God is inspired by God. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration. That is God breathed. That means when I study the word of God, I'm inhaling the very breath of God. And when I inhale the breath of God, I exhale in putting it into practice. I inhale in study. I exhale in application. The more I inhale and exhale, the more spiritually high I become. But I don't want to be high by myself. I got to puff past and help somebody get high in their life as well. But I got to have a delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on this law both day and night, and we can get high together. All right. So now, the Bible says in John 15, Jesus says, I want you to abide in me and I in you. When you abide, when you remain, when you take up residency in me, then I'll do the same in you. The branch can't bear fruit by itself. Its fruit-bearing ability is tied to the connection with the vine, because everything that I need is in the vine. All the spiritual nutrients and nourishment I need is in the vine. I got to stay connected to the vine. I can't let folks sever that connection. I can't let stuff sever that connection. I can't let problems, trials, tribulations, peer pressure sever that connection. Jesus is my lifeline. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man can get to the Father but through Jesus. And so I need to abide in him with no desire to move on to some other place. I need to stay with Jesus. I need to stay in Jesus. Young folk, you may not be popular when you take a stand for the Lord, especially the direction this country is going. We're going to need somebody and everybody to stand flat-footed on the word of God and understand that God still sits on high and God still looks down low. And we got to understand that the condition of this country, the condition of this world, is not going to be fixed through the White House, but the right house is going to be fixed through the Lord's church carrying out God's will here on earth. If we want an impact, we got to stay connected to the vine. Got to stay connected to the vine. Jesus says, without me, you can do absolutely nothing. Now, young folk, listen up. You can't do this Christianity thing on your own. You can't draw up your own agenda, your own plan, because you were bought with a price. When you obey the gospel of Jesus, you are bought with a price, and you no longer belong to yourself. Your will is gone. Your agenda is gone. Your way of living is gone. Your purpose is gone. It's all about God. At this point, it's all about God. Now, what God says I want you to do, I want your will to line up with my will. I need your will to align with my will. If you want to be blessed, if you want to be highly favored, your will must line up with my will. I want you to do what I've commanded you to do. Not to do what I've commanded you to do can lead to eternal consequences. He says, I need you to listen to me. Growing up, nine of us in a house, nine kids, Martinites. That's who we were. Girgashites, Jebusites, Canaanites, Martinites. We all had kitchen duty. We had a month of kitchen duty. That's a long time. And so one day during my month, I was running track. And I just got all beat up in track practice, fell, hurt myself, and so forth. I got home, and I washed the dishes that were there, but I looked at those pots and pans. I said, I ain't got the energy to wash this tonight. And so what I'm going to do, I'm just going to put them in the oven, and I'm going to try to wake up before everybody else and make sure that I wash them. Well, I didn't wake up like I planned on waking up. And so mama started to cook some stuff and was looking for the pots and pans. Nowhere to be found. Looked in the cabinet below, nothing in there, nothing in the refrigerator. And, you know, mothers are smart. Say amen, mothers. So she looked in the oven. And there were the pots and pans. It's not a pleasurable thing to be beaten out of your sleep. Praise the mighty name of Jesus. Because the first part of it, you think you're dreaming. Until you open your eyes and realize this thing is happening for real. It's going down for real. I learned my lesson, the importance of obedience. Now, I obey God, I obey the Lord because of my love for him. It shouldn't be a matter I'm afraid of going to hell. That ought not be my motivation for doing what God wants me to do. It's not that I don't want to go to hell. It's that I love him because of what he did for me. Does that make sense? That's what Jesus was saying in John 14 and verse 15. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And in keeping it, you're not trying to earn salvation. You are responding to the love, the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness of God. That's my motivation. And young folk, that ought to be your motivation. Not to get your name in the bulletin. Amen, somebody. But because you love the Lord and you understand at your tender age that God has been mighty good to you. That's why we do what we do, because we love the Lord. I have to understand that everything is about Jesus. Everything is about Jesus. I can't base my life upon a pattern that's set by folk in the world. I have to understand I have a responsibility as a child of God. Not only do I have a responsibility, but I have the ability to respond to that responsibility. God would not ask me to do anything or live a life that he has called me to live without giving me what I need to live that life. And so, young folk, you need to understand that everything that we need is in Jesus. One of the things that I've learned, and we've all learned when we were growing up very young, we learned our ABCs. Y'all remember that? How many of y'all struggle with your ABCs? So wait a minute, what comes after Q? All right, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, what I'm simply saying is, if I know my ABCs, I should know what my relationship with the Lord brings about in my life. God says, listen, I understand that you go through stuff. And some young folk deal with adult issues and adult problems. And sometimes they feel as if they got to deal with it by themselves. And sometimes they don't get the love that they need and the attention that they need. It's not always good to beat them on the head with the Bible. I'm trying to help somebody. I'm trying to help you help your child. It's not always about beating them on the head with the Bible. Sometimes they need some love and tough love at that. But they need to understand that, listen, you're going to make mistakes because you can't approach a young person who's wrestling with sin in their lives as if you never sinned. Does that make sense? I can't deal with them like I had a halo over my head my entire life. You ain't been writing pen pal letters to the Prince of Peace every day of your life. You've had some struggles. You've had some weaknesses. You've had some down times. You've been cast down. You've rebelled against God. If you say, well, preacher, I have no idea what you're talking about, I'm going to give it to you. Lying. That's what it is. That's what you've been wrestling with. If you say I ain't never had an issue, I've been walking the straight and narrow my entire life. Come on now. And you got to help them to understand. Listen, I know what it's like to wrestle with stuff. I know what it's like to fall down. I know what it's like to be separated from God. But I understand I serve a God that brought me a mighty long way. He took my test and made a testimony. He took my mess and gave
gave me a message so I can be a blessing to somebody else. You sit them down, you talk with them, you reason with them, but you remind them that you ain't always been where you are. Because what that does, that gives credibility. It gives credibility to your ability to minister to young folk. Is that all right? And so young folk go through some stuff. And a lot of times they keep all of that in. I know you do because I know how to keep stuff in. Lord have mercy. You can't crack Peter Martin. I don't care what school you've been to, what tools you got. If I don't want you to know anything, guess what? You ain't going to know it. Some folk know how to clam up, and they're like spiritual turtles. They disappear in their shell, or they're like porcupines. When you try to get close to them, they'll stick you. I need you to stay away. Let me just deal with this. But the truth of the matter is they can't do it by themselves. Isaiah chapter 40, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord. If you want to teach them anything, teach them how to wait upon the Lord and renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They should walk and not faint. Show them how to have their own faith in God, their own faith in Christ Jesus. Have family devotions. Create an environment where your young child can prosper and grow and mature and be nourished in Jesus Christ. They go through stuff. They go through stuff, some difficult stuff. But young folk, I want you to know something. If you just know your ABCs, you can make it through this life. All you need is your ABCs. Because when you understand your connection to the vine, and when you understand that everything is tied to Jesus, you'll understand that he anticipates and annihilates your adversities and your atrocities. He bewilders, baffles, body slams, befuddles Beelzebub. He'll create a calm when you're captured in the cage of calamity, when it appears that your communication has been clipped with the Christ. He destroys doubts, dissipates discouragement, dominates and demolishes the devil. He'll energize you when you are enveloped by your enemies. He'll fuel your faith in order for you to fight your foes. He'll guide you through your godly goals. He'll help you to hop over the hurdles in your life. He is Emmanuel that incarcerates the I am in impossibility and lets you know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He's the Jesus that can get you out of your jams and give you joy. He's the King of Kings that keeps you, the Lord of Lord that loves you and serves as a leaning post for you to lean upon. He's the merciful, mighty, matchless, messianic master that can reduce your mountains to molehills. There's nobody like Jesus. He's omnipresent, omniscient, omniaudio, omnivideo. He's omnipotent. He's the perfect, potent Prince of Peace that translates your problems into promises. He'll quiet your questions. He'll reach down and remove you from your ruts and take you from rags to riches. He's the seeing Savior that sees you in your sad settings, produced by stormy situations. He'll give you satisfying solutions by turning your stumbling blocks into stepping stones. He is the terrific teacher that can translate your trials, your tribulations, and your troubles into triumph. He's unique in that he's the only one that understands you fully and can unite you with God. He'll fill your void with victory. He's the way that makes a way out of no way. He's only in ex-sinners and ex-aliens. He tells you to yearn for his yoke, for his yoke is easy, and he gives you zeal as you march towards Zion. If you can just know your ABCs, you can get out of the jams of this life. God has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. And you need to understand something. You are not too young to be on the devil's hit list. The thief has come but to kill, to steal, and destroy. Jesus says, my purpose is vastly different. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He says, I want to do for you what you can't do for yourself. I'm not just preparing you right now, young folk, for today. I'm preparing you for the future, because there are many souls that you can bring to Jesus, many friends, many enemies that you can bring to Jesus, many bullies that you can bring to Jesus. But you got to take ownership of this relationship that you have with Christ Jesus. You got to understand the ins and the outs of not being, or rather of being a part of the family of God. It's not just about who you are. It's about whose you are. It's about where your power comes from. It's about what gives you the ability to endure the trials and tribulations of this life. You'll walk out with a testimony. You'll walk out with a story. You'll walk out with a plan and a purpose and the ability to help somebody come to Jesus. But you won't be excited, young folk, about bringing folk to Jesus if you yourself are not excited about the relationship that you have with Jesus. You just got to understand how blessed and how highly favored you are in Christ Jesus. I ain't got to have $1 million, but I'm rich in Jesus. I may not live in a mansion, but there's one prepared for me in heaven. I may not drive the best car. I may drive that kind of car that when it goes down the road, somebody thinks somebody's shooting. Praise God. Hoopty rolling, tailpipe dragging, heat don't work, and y'all know the rest of the story. But one day I'll walk on streets of gold. Here it is. It's not just about getting from here to heaven. Here's your purpose. Here's your function. It's about bringing heaven down here to earth. I can change the world around me by living according to the kingdom agenda. I got to stay connected to the vine. Don't let anything or anyone break that connection. But if it gets broken, God's grace can graft you back into the power source. You got to appreciate your salvation. Celebrate the fact that you are a child of God. Celebrate the fact that you belong to the Creator of the ends of the earth. Got to celebrate that. Don't let folk who don't understand what you have ruin what you got. Does that make sense? You ought to be as happy as that mutt. Yeah, I'm about to talk about us. I'm about to take my sanctified seat next to my sanctified wife. But I got to tell you this. There was a man who raised prize winning dogs. He breeded certain species together and created dogs that will win races over and over again. And when they won the races, this man would amass a great amount of wealth, so much so that he purchased a beautiful home, got his wife in bling bling, put the kids through school, and still got a lot left over. One day he sat at his desk and began to calculate all of his riches and what brought about those riches. And he made a decision that day. He said, I need to go get a mutt. I've been dealing with these prize-winning pedigree dogs for a long time. I want to know what it's like to have a mutt. So one day he went out at night, went down a dark alley and kicked over a garbage can. And there was a mutt. He was just mangy. He was dirty. He was smelling. And this mutt was just looking for some food. So this man, he gets this mutt and he washes this mutt. He cleans this mutt. He clips the mutt's nails and even puts a doggy sweater on this mutt. And then welcomes the mutt into his house. And once he enters the house, this mutt is just prancing around like he's somebody. He know where he's been delivered from, but now he's in a new environment. And he's getting fed like he's never been fed before. He ain't got to go to the trash can anymore to get food. He's well taken care of. Well, one of the servants told the man, listen, he's not going to last there long because he's not accustomed to this environment. And sure enough, that next day, that mutt was gone. Gone. And it was gone for several days. 2 days had gone by. No sign of that mutt. 3 days, 4 days, 5 days. No sign of that mutt. But on that sixth day, he heard a scratch at the door. The man opened the door, and there was that mutt. He went back and got 10 of his mutt friends. He said, I ain't never been treated like this before. This man found me in a dark alley. He cleaned me up, clipped my nails, put a doggy sweater on me, fed me after he brought me into this house. I can't keep this blessing to myself. I got to go tell some other mutts what this man has done for me, because if he did it for me, he can do it for them. Greenville Avenue, I have no problem in telling you that I am a representative mutt trying to tell other mutts how to come to the master's house. God saved me by his grace. He saved me when I went down in the water grave of baptism for the remission of my sins. Raised me a ready vessel. Feeds me spiritually from his word. I can't keep this to myself. I got to go find some other mutts, some drug addicted mutts and some alcoholic mutts. Lord have mercy. I just need to find some mutts and help them to experience what I've experienced in Christ Jesus. And I'll tell those other mutts, just get connected to the vine and God will take care of the rest. Just get connected. Stay in your word. Pray to God. Prayer, earthly license for heavenly interference. I pray to God because when the prayers go up, the blessings come down. I meditate on his word. I fellowship with the saints because this represents my source of strength. I need all of these pieces to be what God has called me to be. And when you have this type of relationship, your prayers will change. No longer, young folk, will you tell God how big your problems are. You'll start telling your problems how big your God is. That's what that would do for you, because you have got a relationship with Christ that is just unbelievable. And this is not something I'm making up. It's not something I dreamt up. It's not something I concocted up. I just want y'all to know I heard it through the true vine. And this is what he wants you to know. And this is what he wants you to hear. You are not the church of tomorrow. You are the church of today. You're the church of right now. And God can use your life right now to be a blessing. And so thank God for the trials. Thank God for the tribulations. Because if truth be told, if I had time, I'll share with you that a lot of what you go through really ain't about you in the first place. You dealing with something right now, but God got somebody you need to talk to a couple of years from now to be able to share with them what he brought you out of. Oh, Lord have mercy. That would have preached right there, but I'm going to cut the thing off. About to cut this off here. That'll preach. And I think I'm going to change my lesson for tonight. I'm going to call it blessed and highly favored, because we got to know as the church as a whole how blessed and how highly favored we are and the rewards that lie at the end of the road. This is what encourages us and motivates us to endure the silliness and the craziness in this world. So if you're here and you're a young folk and a young person and you're dealing with some stuff, maybe God's pruning you. Maybe he's purging you. Maybe he's preparing you for another level in your life. But understand this, at every new level, there's a new devil. So somebody tweet that hashtag, new level, new devil. But what you learn at the previous level will prepare you for the next level. Different devil, same results. You going down just like that one in the previous level, because I know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I understand as a child of God that no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. God doesn't allow the person, he doesn't keep the person from forming the weapon. Oh, Lord, have mercy. That's scuba deep right there. He doesn't stop the person from forming the weapon. He'll let them form it to the T, just the way they want it. He'll let them form it, but it won't prosper. Oh, man, I just want to sit in their garage while they put it together. Man, that show look nice, man. Wow. What is this supposed to do? Oh, man. One thing, you know, I be the new 2016 MC Hammer. You can't touch this. With that, Lord have mercy. Y'all pray for me. Pray for me. If you're not a child of God, you have no idea what you're missing. So let me show you how to become a child of God. If you want to be a child of God, you must be purchased. I shared this story, and I'll share it briefly at this point. A young boy made a sailboat. He was proud of his sailboat, and so proud of it that he put his initials at the bottom of it. And one day he put the sailboat on the water, and the wind took it away. Took it out the boy's sight. And the boy was so sad because he couldn't find the sailboat. He worked so hard in making it. He was so proud of it, but the wind took it away. After weeks of sorrow, he was walking by a store and looked in the window of a store at what he thought was his sailboat. He goes in and he picks it up. It looks just like it. And he turns it over, and behold, there are his initials. Mm. He grabs it and he starts to walk out the door. Mm. The owner said, "Hold it. You can't leave here with that sailboat without paying for the sailboat." He said, "But I made it." He says, "If you're going to walk out of here with it, you got to pay for it." So he spent weeks saving up all his nickels and made sure he got his money together. Because at that time, money was kind of funny. Strange, change was strange. He had to get his money together. And once he got it together, he went back to the store, gave the man the money, and the man gave him the boat. The boy walked out of there with the boat, holding it tightly, and he starts talking to the sailboat. He says, "Now you're twice mine. First, because I made you, and secondly, because I bought you. I want you to understand, yes, God made you, but if you want to be a child of God, you got to be purchased by the blood of Jesus. And when you go down in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins and have contact with the precious blood of Jesus, God will then hold you, and God will tell you, now you're twice mine. First, because I made you, and secondly, because I bought you." You got to be purchased. You got to be purchased. You must be baptized for the remission of your sins. You've heard what Jesus did for you. He suffered, he bled, and he died. You got to believe that with all of your heart. You got to repent. Repentance is a checkup from the neck up before you wreck up. Yeah, MC Peter right here. Yeah. Check up from the neck up before you wreck up. Your life will never be right until your mind is right. A change of mind leads to a change in life. No more stinking thinking. You got to turn from sin. Even separate yourself from folk who mean you no spiritually good. Because if you want to fly with eagles, you got to stop hanging around turkeys. Confess the sweetest name that has ever rolled off of mortal tongues. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then be buried with him in water baptism. In baptism, here's what God does. He performs an operation. Colossians 2, verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. God in the watery grave performs an operation. He doesn't need a scalpel. He doesn't need a knife. All he needs is the blood of Jesus. And he applies that blood to your sin dark soul, and it makes you white as snow. When you're baptized into the church that we read about in the Bible, the Word of God, and that is the church of Christ. There you begin your walk, and he says, be faithful unto death. A lot of times we misquote that. We say until death. It's not until, it's unto. If it's until, you know, we got some issue with that. I like you until you start talking about me. I like you until you start slandering my name in the mud and stabbing me in the back. We cool until. Unto means regardless of what happens, regardless of what you do and what you say, I'm sticking with Jesus because he's the one that's going to save me eternally in the end. And if you are a child of God and you've just been wrestling with this whole metaphor of branches and vine and so forth, am I severed, am I detached, I got to understand something. Understand this, there's a process in growth. You don't come into the church full grown. I was watching a YouTube video on vine dressers and so forth, and I got to tell you, that was the absolute most boring video I've ever watched in my entire life. But the longer I watched him talk in his monotonous voice, you know, first you got to cut this, and then you do this, and then you got to bring it over to the Y and so forth. I mean, I was dozing off. But as I listened to him, I started to, had to bring the Bible out because I wanted to compare what he was saying to the scriptures. And he was saying, you know what, it doesn't start off, you don't start off full grown. You, first of all, there's a bud that appears on the vine. And from that bud, there's a shoot. And from that shoot, there's a branchlet. From the branchlet, it becomes a branch. And after the branch, you have a mature branch that bears fruit. I don't know where you are, what stage you are in. But on those branchlets, you have tendrils whose nature is to attach to certain things known as anchors. And so, young folk, anchor yourself in Jesus. Anchor yourself in Jesus. And when you're anchored in Jesus, it makes it a lot easier to withstand the storms of life. You may bend, but you won't break because you are anchored in Jesus. And so we're going to ask you to stand at this time. I'm through. We're going to ask you to stand at this time. There may be somebody that wants to give their life to Jesus and begin this walk with the Lord. There may be somebody who's just been struggling. You are a child of God. You've just been struggling in this Christian life. He said, man, I thought this thing was going to be easy. I didn't realize I had to deal with trials and tribulations and challenges. Well, when you understand what Satan wants from you, he wants you there in the lake of fire with him for an eternity. He wants you to backstroke in the lake of fire for an eternity. He wants you to be eternally separated from God. Understand that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And if we end up there, we are intruders. Because this place wasn't prepared for us. But when we fail to do God's will, we'll expand the borders and we'll find ourselves right where God does not want us to be. It's not God's desire for anyone to be lost, for anyone to perish, for anyone to be eternally separated from him. That's not, God loves you. He loves you so much that if he had a refrigerator in heaven, your picture would be on it. That's how much he loves you. Do you love him enough to live the life that he has called you to live? He knows you can't do it by yourself. But with him, as Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Preacher, how much time do I have? Not much time. The poet said, I have only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it, but it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. You got to redeem the time. Make the best use of your time because tomorrow is not promised. Mm-hmm. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 27, verse number 1. So if you're ready to respond to the invitation, we urge you, beg you, beseech you to do so as we sing the Savior's invitation.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and
Let us haste.
Let us haste, oh, haste.
Well, to the
brink. 'Tis the
fount of love from the source above. And he bids us
all freely drink. And will you come?
Will you come to the fountain free?
And will you come?
Will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul,
hear the well. Come, 'tis the fountain open for all, and there's a living.